All right. You know what time it is? It's movie retrospective time.
Yeah.
I am super, super excited about this one.
This is a good one.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. This is how this shit happened.
Yeah.
So, this movie came out in 2007.
Yeah.
Now, you had seen it.
I saw it. Didn't know anything about it.
You didn't know anything about it. You had seen it before. Now, this was even before we moved in together. Like, yeah. This was just when we kind of first started going out. Yeah, this was at your old apartment.
Right.
So I was over at your apartment one day, and you were like, you have to see this movie. This is the craziest shit you have ever seen.
I started on this movie, and it was called Big Man Japan.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know the premise. I didn't see anything. I think it was Netflix, and somehow it just kind of rolled into it.
Right.
So I went, okay, I'll watch this one. And I start watching it, and it just seems like this serious kind of documentary about this guy who's kind of down and out, and it's just real serious, you know? And he's talking about his wife, and his wife threw a brick through the window, and I'm going, when I saw that, I was like, this can't be, you know what I mean? A reality type program. Yeah, that looks staged.
Like, what is this?
And then one thing just kind of built into another, and it was just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You guys, if you haven't seen Big Man Japan
before, don't watch this because we're going to ruin it.
Turn this shit off now.
Go watch it and then come back.
This is one where the less you know, the more effective it is. I had no idea what kind of movie this was. I didn't know the genre or anything. It just seemed like, you know, like a documentary about a guy who, in Japan, was kind of down on his luck, and one thing led to another, and you find out this guy's got a different identity. Just turn it off right now.
Yeah.
Go watch it.
Because we're going to spoil it.
You're going to spoil it.
But.
Yeah, and actually it's on Shudder. Shudder just
That's what I was going to say. Like, I was going to say, skip ahead, because he had seen it. He showed it. He's like, you have to see this. It's the craziest shit ever.
Yeah, and I didn't tell her anything.
And you didn't tell me anything about it. You said, you just have to watch. Just watch it.
Yeah.
So I sat there at his apartment and watched it, and I'm like, holy shit, that was like the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's then weird. Fast forward to like a week or two ago, you know, come up on Shudder, like I check it every day or a couple days.
They were proud to present.
And it was up there, like on their new releases. And I literally said out loud, no fucking way. Yeah. I was like, this has been on the list for like ages. Yeah. And I wanted to get around to doing this because this is like the craziest fucking movie. And I feel like a lot of people haven't seen it, maybe.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to do this one now. So if you guys haven't seen it, go ahead and turn it off. And
you got to see it before, because we're going to ruin it.
The less you know, the better this movie is.
Because we're going to ruin it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie, as I said, came out in 2007.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay, spoilers.
We're warning you. So just turn back now.
Turn back now.
Came out in 2007. It's called Big Man Japan. It was written, directed, and stars quite famous Japanese comedian Hitoshi Matsumoto.
Yeah, and I didn't know the guy was a comedian. Yeah. So I'm watching it. And
I didn't either when I first watched it.
Because, we don't know this guy. You know what I mean? For all we know, this is like the Japanese Robin Williams. I was taking it seriously.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then it just, out of the blue, got so bizarre. And that you just bust up. You can't handle it.
Yeah, because I love... Okay, here's the thing. Like, I haven't seen a lot of... I've seen a lot of Japanese horror films, like monster movies, stuff like that. I haven't seen a lot of Japanese comedies, but the ones that I have seen have tended to be... tend more toward the zany end of things.
Right, so zany's not even funny.
So I think the reason this one works is because a lot of it is very low-key. You know
real
what I mean?
Dry
it's
humor.
Very dry humor.
And the guy just plays his role totally straight.
Yes.
And then just some batshit crazy stuff just comes out of nowhere with hardly any explanation or preamble to it. What this movie is you find out this guy who's down and out, he's not getting regular work like he used to get. And you find out that what he is that he is a Sentai character. And if you know anything about Japanese movies, Sentai is kind of like, you know, the giant monsters like Godzilla and Rodan. That he can get big when he needs to. And he gets big.
I'm just cracking up just thinking about it.
By going down to the local power plant, and they hook up some shit to his nipples and they fucking shock him. mm-hmm. and he grows huge just in a few seconds, and then he can go out and fight a monster, and over a period of a few days he gets depressed and he gets smaller and smaller and goes back down to normal size.
Yeah.
And they introduced this concept to you just straight as shit, just that this is real. Big Man Japan. And he doesn't have the work he used to have because it's not quite popular and as it used to be. There's not as many monsters. They don't show up regularly in Japan anymore. And the public's kind of turned against him because he's more trouble than he's worth. They break a lot of buildings and shit.
Yeah, he steps on. He's bad for the environment.
Yeah, bad for the environment. He's a bad example for children because it's violent. It's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you know? So this guy's character's name is Masaru Daisato. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of this movie, it's a mockumentary is what it is. So you never see the person behind the camera, but it's obviously like someone behind the camera making a documentary about this guy person.
Who can get big. Yeah.
Now, but they don't tell, like at the beginning, he's just kind of like schlubbing around in his bachelor pad, which is all cluttered and shit like yeah. that. And they're asking him
he's separated from his wife.
Yeah, they're asking him kind of mundane questions like about his life and stuff like that. And as he starts getting into like what his job is and stuff, because they don't tell you that for quite a while. Like,
he's kind
what
of embarrassed of it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's like, so it's almost like, because the first time I watched it, I was like, are we watching like a documentary about a crazy person? Is that what this is?
You that's know what it seems I mean? Like.
Because that's what it seems like. It seems like...
Seems very real.
Yeah, he dresses kind of like a hobo, and he's always kind of like, you know, shuffling around, and he seems like really depressed and bummed out, and he lives by himself. His wife and kid are gone, and all this other stuff, and he just seems very sad and like kind of fucked by life.
I didn't realize this was a mockumentary until he's in the middle of he's out in the park talking about, you know, how he's kind of estranged from his wife, and he doesn't get to see his daughter very often.
Yeah.
He said once a month, but it was more like once every 5 months or 6 months.
Yeah, because he was kind of an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, he kind of lied about. And then he gets a call on his cell phone. He goes, "Dude, I got to work." And he's like, "Really? You got to work?" He goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Don't film me, man. I'm talking." You know, he's trying to hide what he does. And he goes, "I got to go, man. Got to go." And
he says, "I got to go bake."
Got to go bake. And you know, and they're like, "What?" And he jumps on his motorcycle. It's like a little moped.
Yeah.
And he starts heading up this mountain. There's all these silly signs. And I'm going, what the hell is this? And the guy trying to do the documentary is following behind him in the car. And he gets to a power station. And the security won't let him through. And he's telling him, "Look, man, I got to do this." Make a long story short, he grows fucking huge.
Yeah.
You know, size of Godzilla. And that's when I realized that this movie was full of shit. But it was fucking hilarious. And the monsters that he's fighting are just the most loser monsters ever. And
they're just the most ludicrous monsters that you can imagine.
And they're kind of trying to take it seriously. And then they talk, after he gets small again, you know, he asks about the ratings. And his ratings are underneath the shopping channel, like it's not popular anymore.
Yeah, they show like the rating, like the TV guide or whatever.
His manager's stealing most of his money. He's not really, and he's living on welfare. A lot of it was welfare, and he gets some
or something like that. He gets some money from like the Ministry of Defense. Because,
yeah, that's right. Japanese government's still paying him.
Yeah, they pay him. They have a Ministry of Monster Prevention.
Yeah,
and he's saying that because he actually comes from a long line of
which they get
Big
into
Man
that.
Japan dudes that fought monsters. Now, his grandfather, the fourth,
he just calls him the fourth,
is still alive, and he was kind of like the super big popular one. So, like, sometimes in the movie they show, like, this archival footage.
Yeah, family black and white Japan.
Black and white.
Pre-World War II.
Yeah, of this other, like, big man. He's walking the street and everyone's cheering and, like, all this
hanging
other
out with
stuff.
Geisha, sliding the door open.
Right. And like, and he's big and shit like that. And it's like, but at this stage, I guess, like I said, you know, the public is kind of turned against him. Nobody really watches because all of his monster fights are televised for whatever reason.
And
like
nobody
I said,
gives a shit.
He has an agent and stuff, but no one really gives a crap anymore because I guess
it's out of style.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the monsters are kind of lame and
they
like
don't show up very
and they don't show up very often. And they stuck him like on at 2 o'clock in the morning and shit like that when he's like, you know, his grandfather used to have like the prime time
used
slot.
Used to be prime time slot.
And everything like that. But I wanna say too, like, how fucking awesome the monsters that he fights are. Like it's hard to describe if you haven't seen them, but like the first one he fights, and before each little monster fight, they'll have like a little, it looks like old paper, and it'll be like, it'll show you like a, like it's an old like book, mm-hmm. and it'll show you like the name of the monster and a little sketch of
what it does
and what it does. And yeah. it's like, these are the attributes of the whatever monster.
Kind and then like they'll Japanese show the little movie fight. Where they show the villain and they give you the stats on the villain. It's like that. One of them was just a giant head with one single leg that
with
came.
One leg.
And it was like an idiotic child, and it just jumped around.
That was the leaping monster.
Yeah. Another one would just look like a chick without any, you know, like a baby chick.
Like a plucked chicken.
Right.
With no head.
With like a worm coming out where its butt is with an eye on it, and it would throw the
It was like coming out of his belly, and it had like this big long like thing with a big huge eyeball at the end of it that he threw.
It's ridiculous.
Like that was his weapon.
No, and it was like a stink monster and just
The first one he fought was like I think it was called the Strangling Monster. Mm-hmm. And it kind of looked like its body looked like sort of like the Michelin Man except skinny. Yeah. Like, it was kind of, like, looked like it was wrapped in bandages. Like
I remember that.
And then, but it's two arms, and if you're not...
like a rubber band.
We're connected like a rubber band. And his thing was he would put his arms around a building, and he would pull a building up out of the ground, and then he would had a ovipositor that came out of his butthole.
Yeah.
And he would stick it, like, in the ground underneath and plant eggs in there. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Like, one of them was just.
Oh, and he had a comb over. Also.
One of them, comb over. One of them had a. One of them was just a giant baby.
With
cat ears on it, like a cat. And he killed that one.
That was the accidentally.
Yeah, he killed that one, and everybody was accusing him of murdering a baby and murdering babies, and he was hiding over. You know, it's an awesome flick. It's real awesome.
It's a like I said, it's
real funny.
I think the funniest thing about it is just like the juxtaposition. Of this apparently very serious, like, documentary footage of this poor, like, trodden down man that you think that it is about. And then these, like, inner cut scenes of, like, him...
fighting these monsters.
Fighting them. And because
getting his ass whipped by the North Korean monster.
When he gets big...
Yeah.
His hair goes, like, he has, like, big, like, sticky uppy hair.
Yeah.
And he just has, like, a little stick, and he doesn't have any shirt on. He just has little purple underwear.
Yakuza tattoos.
Yeah, and he has all these tattoos, and some of the tattoos are, like, advertisements, because sponsors, that's how they make, like, sponsor money. Yeah. Like, that's his agent set all that up. And they, like, there's, like, a couple scenes where he's, like, arguing with his agent, like, in the diner about, like, how he doesn't want any tattoos on his hips, and he's like, you know, my hips are, like, sacred property and stuff. But it's just, there's just, like, little funny shit like that. Like, one of the very first scenes in the movie, which kind of, like, you know, where he's on the bus... And he's got, like, an umbrella, and one of those little fold-up umbrellas that's, like, you know, this big. And the documentary guy asked him, he's like, I didn't think it was going to rain today. He's like, oh, well, I always carry one. I really like these kind of umbrellas. They get big when you need them to.
Yeah, right. He always likes stuff that gets bigger
He likes stuff that gets big when you need it to. Because he also has this, like, seaweed. Let's strike dried seaweed.
It gets big.
And when you put it in water, it, like, expands.
Yeah.
And he was talking about that, too. He's like, yeah, I really like this because it gets big when you need it to.
Eats it, big boy.
And he eats it, but, like, Bob's big boy. Yeah, just little shit like that, but it's done, like, really, really subtle.
Yeah.
Another thing that I thought was really funny was, like I said, his successor, his grandfather, the fourth, is still alive, and he's in, like, a nursing home.
Yeah, he's got dementia.
And at one stage, like, late in the movie, like, he gets a phone call from the nursing home, and there's no preamble at all. The guy at the nursing home just says, your grandpa got big.
Yeah. And it's like, no! And then they show him, he's hitting the news, he's going up to, like, smokestacks on factories, and going, like, he's blowing.
And he's, like, fucking around.
And then he salutes the sun, and that ended up being the first... Like the front page news that he's saluting the sun and that he's crazy. It's just funny.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to see like a gigantic old man in underwear.
And
like
they're badly proportioned when you see him.
Yeah, like they're really weird looking.
Weird proportions, narrow shoulders and little arms and big legs and big tall head, long necks on them, big tall hair, looks like something off a damn Eraserhead.
Yeah,
they get real distorted.
And another thing that's
funny. They don't look heroic at all.
And another thing that's funny, too, is whenever Big Man Japan gets called out on a job, Because he says, like, to the documentary guy, he's like, most of the time I'm just sitting around because, like, monsters don't come around, you know.
Yeah.
As like, but he's like, but I can't take a vacation because you never know. Like, one might come around tomorrow or later today and I need to be on call. I'm always on call. So whenever he gets a call, there's only, like, 3 or 4 power plants left in Japan. So he always has to, like, take a bus or, like, whatever to get there. And then they hook up his nipples and all. Well, first they have to do, like, this super secret, like, ritual. They got, like, the priest, like, the Shinto priest in there. Or whatever,
and he's got to call in the spirit of some goddess, and he goes, "Is it vested? It's vested."
Yeah, and he's just like.
But then they ask him, "Is it actually necessary?" And he's like, "No,
no."
So you find out all this shit that he does is like not necessary. It's just crap.
Yeah, it's just they just do it like all half-assed.
They just do it because. Yeah,
and then he goes out like before when they go to make him big. Yeah. He goes out, and this is the funniest thing, too, and I read a review of this by Roger Ebert, or whoever writes his website now, because I don't remember if Roger Ebert was still alive in 2009, who actually loved this movie. And he was like, this is the movie that answered a lot of questions I had about superheroes, like especially like Hulk ones or ones that get big. He's like, you know, how do they get into their clothes? Like, how do the clothes grow?
Yeah.
He's like, this answers that question because they have his big, huge purple underwear.
Yeah, it's held up
already
on
on this big rack. And he gets in there in his normal size, and he gets in and just stands in the crotch. And then when he gets big,
and fills it up and takes
and
it up in the sky with it.
Into the purple underwear.
Yeah.
But there's just like, there's all kinds of stuff. There's like I said, there's the stink monster.
And they talk about his bad relationship with his dad because his dad traumatized him when he was a kid.
Yeah.
He was getting fat as a little boy, and his dad said, it's time to give you some juice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they hooked up the damn. Because his dad could get big, so could his granddad.
Yeah.
They hooked up his nipples and gave him too much voltage, and he just blew his titties out like volcanoes.
Volcanoes.
They were red hot, and he's laid on the ground, you know, knocked out. And the fourth, his granddad came in and, you know, I remember he, like, smacked his dad.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Because his dad ended up dying because
he
was trying to give himself too much juice.
Too much juice.
He was trying to get bigger.
Getting bigger and bigger. Yeah, and like he was, you know, during the interviews, he was talking about how his dad and his granddad were adversely affected by taking too much electricity.
Electricity, yeah.
Because they were literally trying to get head and shoulders above the rest of the competition. Because there were more guys that could get big, too, at the same time, like 30 of them. And the interviewer was like, what, does more electricity make you bigger? And he went, no.
Yeah.
No.
So they
were just
some
weird, that was a weird, mysterious shit. If more electricity didn't make you bigger, why did they give themselves more electricity? And how did they get head and shoulders above the rest?
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they
just thought. They just thought they did. I don't know. I think that was an analogy with steroids or something.
Probably.
Something like that. Yeah,
I just thought the first time I saw it, I have to tell you this, when he was talking about the umbrella and he's like, he liked it because it got big when you needed it to. I'm just like, is he talking about his dick?
You don't know when you're
first
watching.
That also gets big when you need it to.
One of the funniest, one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, not knowing anything about it, it made it really funny because I didn't know what I was watching. And then it gets progressively more and more bizarre until it turns into a modern Sentai where it's Ultraman type stuff. But it's a whole family of American version of Ultraman show up and defeat the North Korean monster, and the Japanese big man Japan made no difference.
Yeah.
They showed that he made no difference in the destruction of this monster, which calls back to towards the beginning of the movie when they said, don't you like to go on vacation maybe to America? And he's like, no, he didn't like America. He said when he was a kid, his father and his grandfather kind of, they fed him some ideas. Remember,
yeah.
That's what he said.
<That's right.
laughs> Which they were, you know, they were inferring that he was a Japanese nationalist, ultra-nationalist.
Yeah, he had, like, never been anywhere.
Yeah, he'd never been anywhere. He was an ultra-nationalist, you know. He was into the empire type of deal, I guess.
But I think, like I said, I think the thing that makes this so funny is just because, I mean, you have to have, like, a particular sense of humor. But it's just because it's taken so seriously, and it's just so serious, and you just think it's like this documentary about this loser Japanese dude who is crazy and thinks he's a superhero, but then he actually is. But then it's just funny the way everyone like reacts to it, because it feels like, you know, in a lot of, you know, it's definitely satirical. in a lot of these kind of movies about giant monsters and giant people and stuff like that, you know, everyone's like, oh, ah, you know what I mean? But now everybody's just like, meh, who fucking cares? Yeah. It's like, no one's watching it. It's like, you know, his whole house is like covered with like graffiti and people throwing rocks through his windows and stuff like that, because it's like, no one's having it anymore. And it's just, so I think that was what I liked the most about it, is that the total straight shit of like the documentary stuff with just the completely ludicrous, you know, there's a scene in this with like the stink monster, and he's like, and then there's another stink monster, and then they're arguing about over whether he should have sex with this other stink monster.
She said he was too young,
and he's like, yeah, he's too young and everything like that, but then apparently it did go to, and there's so many buttholes in this movie. Way more buttholes than it was anal, would expect
somehow.
They were both male. I thought, weren't they? Or was the one female?
No, one was female and one was male.
Okay, I thought called him he.
Well, the thing is that the female kind of looked like a male.
Yeah.
But, no, they were two different sexes. And then they did have sex, but they didn't show it. And then Big Man Japan got accused of being a pimp. Because like he was talking to both of them.
Because, like I said, every time he fights the monster, people see it on TV.
Yeah.
So then, you know, if something goes wrong, like when he fought the one monster that looked like Hellboy, you know, and he ran away.
Yeah, that was a North Korean monster.
Yeah, then, you know, that was in all the papers too, like talking about what a lame ass he was.
Yeah, he got his ass whipped. And he accidentally killed the fourth, his granddad.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Tripped over him and killed him.
And that, oh, another funny thing too, I forgot to mention, is that every time one of the monsters dies,
They go to heaven.
They go to heaven. Like there is like this beam comes down and they go, ooh, and like their soul comes out of their body. It's like the craziest shit you've ever seen.
What else can you tell us about it?
It's funny because the Wikipedia page, it basically just has the cast and a very short synopsis of the plot, and that's about it.
Okay.
But it actually did pretty well, I think. You know, it came out, like I said, in 2007. It toured some festivals and stuff. And I feel like I had never heard of it, like, when you showed it to me. And I feel like even nowadays it's still kind of under the radar. But like I said, Shudder just got it recently, and they were super excited about it. I got my email and everything. Look what we got! And I was like, holy shit, I'm so excited. I really wanted to do this. But, if, like I said, you have to probably have a particular sense of humor. It's much funnier if you've seen, like, other Japanese monster movies or Japanese TV shows, like you said, like Ultraman and stuff like that, because it's satirizing that. Yeah. And it's also satirizing, like, reality TV and, you know, documentaries and shit
Parts
like
of
that.
Japanese culture.
Yeah, that
divorce
too.
Divorce and relationships.
But in a very, like, it's like a very low-key type of way.
Yeah, it's real dead. It's real.
It's very deadpan.
Deadpan, real, you know. Yeah.
Which is what I like about it, because I like that kind of shit. It's just very, very, very serious, and I just think that's fucking hilarious. It's like, that makes it funnier to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, like, you know, and then the end of it is just fucking crazy. Like, even during the credits, like, him and
all
that.
It gets crazier as it goes.
It just gets crazier and crazier as it goes along, and the monsters are just, like, fucking...
Once they reveal to you that this is a comedy and how fucked up it is, even though I'm sure that every Japanese person, when they would see this movie, knew what the movie was about.
Yeah.
But it's better if you don't know what it's about, because the more it reveals, the weirder it gets. Yeah. And the more absurd the reveals are.
Yeah.
So it's constantly one-upping itself.
Yeah.
Until it just gets bizarre towards the end.
Yeah, because like...
ludicrous.
Yeah, because there were several points the first time I saw this that I'm just like, what the fuck am I watching? Yeah. You know what I mean? But it was like, I found it very entertaining, but
Well, they have to ratchet it up as it goes.
Yeah, so like each monster is like successively weirder, like just weirder shit keeps happening.
You find out weirder and weirder stuff about Big Man, Japan, and then weirder stuff about his ancestry and the relationship between him and his ancestors. Just, you know, it's awesome. It's an awesome flick.
It's just a super, super fun movie, but like I said, you know, hopefully if you haven't seen it, you're not still here, because we're just ruining the whole fucking thing.
Right.
But it's one of those ones that's much better if you don't know that much about it, because you can just kind of like let it affect you, or like let it roll over you. You don't know what's coming.
Right.
Because I didn't the first time I saw it, and I really, really liked it very much. But yeah, so
going into it blind is really the way to go.
Yeah. So, you know, like I kind of like to do that with all movies, but especially with ones like this, because I really like to be surprised. And, you know, it's, you know, the more this is just crazier shit happens, and it's just like super awesome.
Excellent.
So,
movie,
yeah. So if you have Shudder, if they just added it,
you can probably get it on, rent it on Amazon.
Too. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, maybe probably Amazon has it and stuff like that. Like I said, Big Man Japan 2007. So check it out if you haven't seen it. And that will do it for this latest movie retrospective. Remember, if you like the show, like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or go to our blog, 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd like to give a one-time donation. Remember that our movie retrospectives, just like this one, come out every Friday. Our 13 o'clock matinee show, which is three new movies in the theater, comes out every Sunday, and our regular episodes come out every Tuesday, so check them out. And we will see you next time. Bye.